Tonight, if you would open up to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And we come tonight to a passage that's meaningful, and all scripture is meaningful, but this passage has become so beloved to so many of us, and it's a privilege to preach it. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. And Jesus said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men." So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he felt compassion for him. And he ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And the servant said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who had devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found." This beautiful parable story is often called the parable of the prodigal son. A parable is a natural story that tells us something about the spiritual world, about the kingdom of God, about ourselves, about God himself. There are many ways we can look at this particular parable, but tonight I want to look at this parable in light of what it tells us about the Lord God, our heavenly Father. For in this parable, we get a glimpse of the everlasting love of the Father for his children. Let's just walk through this story and see the nature of this incomparable love of the Father for his children. The first thing that we see is in this parable is that the Lord God, the Father, in his loving compassion, allows us, by our own choice, to taste the complete and total emptiness of life apart from him. Jesus tells us the story of a man with two sons. The younger son, who is apparently dissatisfied with his life and with his family, asks his father for his inheritance so that he can leave. The story doesn't tell us what the father thought about his son's request, but I imagine he was very disappointed. Perhaps he thought that the only way to win this son's loyalty and love was to let him go and see how good he has had it at home. Let me just say real quick, though, that this isn't prescriptive for us to do as parents. If you're parents of children and somebody's unhappy at home, I don't think this is telling us to do exactly this. Jesus is simply using this earthly story to teach us a spiritual truth about himself. So the young man gathers his possessions in verse 13, and he leaves for a distant country, as far from his father as he can get. And there he squanders and wastes all his money in sinful living. And then in verse 14, the fortunes of this young man change. We are told that he had spent all his money, and now there was a famine in the land, which would have crippled the economy, far worse even than our economy is crippled today. He was without money, without food, and so he went to hire himself out to one of the citizens of the country, and he was given one of the least desirable jobs, to feed the pigs. Pigs are those disgusting animals that roll around in the mud, snort, rub their noses and everything, and will eat whatever is put before them, all the rotting vegetables and scraps that we all throw out. We get a glimpse of how desperate this young man's situation is in verse 16, where we read that he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods, those rotting vegetables and leftover scraps that the pigs were eating. He had left his father's house for this? In his father's house, he ate regularly, and he had need of nothing. But now he longed not for the comforts of home, but for the disgusting slop reserved for the pigs. The text tells us that he came to his senses and thought, even the workers, the slaves at my father's house are eating well, but I am here dying of hunger. So in verse 18, he resolved in his heart to go back to his father and to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired men. Some of you tonight might be spiritually in a distant country. You have run away from the Lord your God to wander around in the lusts of your flesh, and the Lord has let you do that. But he has not let you go to this distant country to make you suffer forever. He has let you go so that you might see how empty life is apart from him, so that you might return to him with all of your heart. You will soon find, if you have not found out already, that what the distant country of sin has to offer is so lacking and miserable that you will long for the rotting scraps reserved for pigs. But what you may not realize is that there is available to you a feast, a magnificent feast of living bread, if you would just return home to the arms of your loving Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Second thing we learn about our Father is that the Father longs and seeks for the return of his wayward children. Look at verse 20. It reads, So the younger son got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him. For loving parents whose children have run away or been kidnapped, every time the phone rings, they wonder, is this my child? Every time they hear a door open, a car pull up, a creak while they are sleeping, their heart beats a little faster as they think, Has my lost one returned? The father in this story was looking for any sign of his son's return as he looked toward the distant horizon. The Lord also is looking for any signs of his wayward children's return. No matter how far you have gone, no matter the darkness or the distance of the country of sin you have ventured to, Jesus is watching and waiting and longing for your return, that he might run to you and embrace you in his most merciful and loving nail-pierced arms. The Lord is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. We also learn from this parable that the Father is rich in mercy, and he is ready and willing to restore his wayward children to the full blessings and rights of children within the household of God. The son had returned, but he no longer felt entitled to the privileges of being a son. Before he had left, he had demanded what was due to him as a son. Now he felt unworthy to be his father's son, and indeed his father had every right to make him a second-class member of the household, a slave or just a worker. But this father would have none of it. This was and always would be his son. So we read in verse 22 that he clothed him with the best clothes. He gave him a ring that made clear he was a son with the full authority of the father. And he gave him sandals to show that he was not a slave or a worker on the farm, on the household, but he was a son. And finally, he ordered a feast, a party to celebrate his son's return. His father was demonstrating to him that he accepted him fully, unquestionably, unequivocally back into the household as his son. And this is what the Lord God does for those children who return from the distant country of sin. The Bible teaches us over and over again about the mercy of God. He is able, willing, and faithful to forgive us from all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, if you would just repent and confess your sins to him. Just as this earthly father clothed his son with fine linens, so also the Lord clothes his children with righteousness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he grants us his authority through the power of the Holy Spirit. And our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace that we might declare to this world, this dark world, the excellencies of Jesus Christ. No mercy, there is no mercy that is withheld from the children of God. For our God is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions. He made us alive together with Jesus Christ. And as a result, the Lord and the holy angels all celebrate, for his children were dead and have come back to life. They were lost and they have been found. The Lord is indeed compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And fourth, the thing we learn from this parable about the Father is about the surpassing riches of the Father's grace toward all of his children. I just talked about the mercy of the Lord. Mercy is not getting the punishment that you deserve for sin. Grace, on the other hand, is receiving blessings which you did not earn and do not deserve. Our God is exceedingly rich in both mercy and grace, giving us what we do not deserve and not giving us the punishment that we do deserve. But let's look at the rest of this story, starting in verse 25. The story turns to the older son, the son who stayed with the father. Notice, though, that even though he stayed close by, his heart was in a distant country. When he returned from the field to hear the celebration, he was angry and would not come in to join the celebration, even though the father himself implored him to come in. Why would he not go to the party? We find the answer in verse 29, where it reads, "But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends.'" Do you notice this shift here? The father in verse 23, it said, "Let us eat and celebrate." But the older son was so self-centered that he wanted a party thrown for himself so that he could celebrate with his friends. One of the most dangerous words we learn as children is "me" and "mine." We become little monsters going around saying, "That's mine, 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 me, me, me." And often we carry this self-centeredness throughout our whole lives. But this feast, this party, this celebration was not just for the younger son. It was for the whole household to celebrate, including the older son. And it was a reminder of the tender mercy and grace of the father and all of his benefits. And it was a time to celebrate the fact that his brother had returned. The older brother, he was too concerned with himself to celebrate the return of his brother. You see, he had forgotten to look at how gracious his father had been to him through the years, and he took for granted the daily bread and the shelter that he had received under his father. He had forgotten to look to the faithful love of his father. He had failed to celebrate in the wonderful mercy and forgiveness his father had given to his younger brother. And he neglected the fact that this mercy and forgiveness would be equally extended to him if he happened to wander off into this land of sin and wickedness. And we too often fail to remember the benefits and the blessings of the Lord our God. It's tempting to think that this is not a temptation for any of us, and we're just the prodigal son who's returned to the Lord. But I am afraid it is a problem. How many times when a politician falls ethically or morally before our eyes and then claims to return to the Lord, how many times will we not celebrate the politician's return to the Lord? Or what about the preacher who falls and who has squandered off so many of the Lord's blessings, and how slow we are to celebrate when he repents? Or how about when we're in church and we see a person beside us or in front of us gaining the pastor's favor, even though we know the person was living a life of sin only months before? Or what about here at Brother Brian? How eager are you to celebrate your brothers who were once wandering in a distant country of sex, alcohol, and drugs? Are you too busy celebrating yourself and your own supposed faithfulness to celebrate with the Lord that one of his children and one of your brothers was once dead but is now alive, was lost but has been found? If you cannot celebrate this great celebration, it might just be that your heart is in a distant country and that you too must come home. And why wouldn't you want to come home to this loving father? In his compassion, as the story shows, he has allowed us to see life without him and to see how empty this life would be. And he has waited longingly for our return, not to punish us, but to embrace us, to forgive us, to restore us completely and totally into the household of God and all of its wonderful blessings of forgiveness and grace. And this should make our hearts sing with wonder as Scripture sings and our songs sing. For he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. How great is the Father's love for us, it says in 1 John 3, that we should be called children of God. And the song sings, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch like you and me his treasure. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches down to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. Indeed, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding, abounding, abounding in loving kindness. He is calling you to come home. We're going to sing a song here. John's going to come up. Dominic, if you could pass out this song. And I'll have a few words to say after this song.
Jesus is
this parable meets you tonight. Maybe you've been in a distant country. No matter how far off you are, you can come home to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, this wonderful story that you told so many years ago still resonates within our hearts, Lord, and teaches us about ourselves and about your love for us, your loving kindness, which is ever abounding and extends forever to your children, Lord. But often we forget your benefits. Lord, I pray that you would restore in us and that you would give us a new insight into your love and care for us, and that we might live lives that are worthy of your honor and glory. I pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.